Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Reading Between the Lies by Lynn Cahoon. Narrated by C.S.E. Cooney. Chapter 1. Rarity Cole loved date nights, or at least she did now. Back in St. Louis, date nights meant having wings and beer at a sports bar while Kevin, the ex-fiancé, watched some game on the many monitors. Or a rerun of a game. Or a bunch of guys talking about a game either just played or coming soon. Rarity should have known after the first few weeks of those date nights that Kevin wasn't the one. Long before he walked out on her because, during chemo treatments, she wasn't fun. Now, cancer-free, with a new house, new business, and a new life in Sedona, Arizona, thanks to the urging of her best friend, Sam Ahrens, she also had a new appreciation of date night. And the guy she was hanging out with, Archer Ender. Tonight he'd taken her to see Sedona's newest art gallery, Moments. Archer took a couple of flutes off the tray of a passing waiter and handed one to Rarity. The dad of Jackson Sanders, our newest resident, works for the New York Metropolitan Gallery. His mom does charity events. Rarity sipped her champagne and studied Archer. You're not usually a subject matter expert in art galleries and their owners. Is this guy a new client? Kind of. He's hired me for a private hike this weekend. We knew each other a long time ago. He pointed to a tall, thin man walking toward him. Jackson's on his way over to greet us. Be nice.
I'm always nice.
Rarity stared at Archer, but he ignored her unasked question. Basically, what the heck? She put on a fake smile and waited for Jackson to arrive.
Archer, I'm so glad you could make it.
Jackson shook Archer's hand. Then he turned to Rarity.
And this must be Rarity. You didn't tell me how beautiful she is, Archer.
I didn't want you getting any ideas, Archer joked. Jackson reached out for her hand, then covered it with his other hand.
I'm so honored you took the time to welcome me to this lovely community. I hope you and Archer come back for the open house. I'll have many more artists on display then. This was just kind of a low-key event to break in the new place, as well as let the Red Rock community find kindred spirits.
It's a beautiful building and setting.
Rarity wasn't sure what Jackson was talking about with Red Rock. From what she knew of the area, the gallery was just outside the Sedona city boundaries. She glanced toward the bank of windows that looked out over the town of Sedona and the hills surrounding it. The sun was just beginning to set, and the sky bathed the area in bright amber and orange.
I'm not sure I'd get any work done here. I'd be staring out the windows all the time.
When you grow up in a seaside cottage in New England, you learn to block out beautiful scenery in order to work.
He smiled, clearly amused by Rarity's awe of the setting.
Or you figure out a way, like our friend Archer here, to make your cubicle an outdoor one, where you get to enjoy this beauty every day. I envy his choice of work-life balance.
Honestly, I agree with Rarity. Your view here is spectacular. Archer met Rarity's gaze and smiled. Although you're right, running my own hiking business is a life goal achievement.
What's that quote?
It's a hard job, but someone has to do it.
You're being modest, a woman's voice interrupted. Rarity turned to see Calliope Todd, Archer's former assistant, joining the group. Calliope had gone all out for the little get-together. She wore a skin-tight little black dress that highlighted her toned body and ample curves. The short length of the dress also showed off her shapely legs. Rarity noticed most of the men in the room were watching the red-headed beauty, including Archer and Jackson.
Calliope, I'm so glad you could make it.
Jackson leaned in and gave her a kiss on the cheek.
I think you all know each other.
Rarity nodded and smiled.
How have you been, Calliope?
Fine. I was just telling Archer the other day at lunch that since I moved to Flagstaff, I never see you anymore. I hope everything's going all right with your little bookstore.
Rarity hoped the jolt of learning that Calliope had had lunch with Archer didn't show on her face.
or the fact that Archer hadn't mentioned it to her. Calliope had thrown that piece of information into the conversation to jar her. That was obvious. Now she just needed to get through this face-to-face without looking like a jealous girlfriend. The bookstore is doing great, thanks for asking. We're sponsoring a back-to-school stuffed backpack drive. Stop by the store and get a shopping list if you're going to be in town. You know we're always looking for donations to keep our kids happy and learning in the classroom.
Well, isn't that socially altruistic of you and the town?
Jackson pulled out his wallet and counted out $500 bills.
Here's my donation. I don't have time to go school shopping, but maybe this will help.
Rarity swallowed, and after a long pause, it was Archer who reached out and took the money. That's very generous of you. I'm sure the school district can put this to good use.
Well, I want to help where I can. Who knows, maybe one of those kindergartners' finger paintings will turn into the next big thing in art.
Jackson waved at another couple.
Calliope, that's the Simpsons. Let me introduce you. I'm sure Rarity and Archer would like some alone time.
As they walked away, Calliope glanced over her shoulder. She didn't look happy to be giving Archer and Rarity any space at all. Rarity drank down the champagne in her glass and traded it for a full one.
Well, Jackson's a force of nature.
He's a big personality, that's for sure. Archer put his hand on her arm and moved her to the next painting in the gallery. Look, I didn't tell you about having lunch with Calliope last week because it was business. She had a client for me, and I know how you feel about her.
I don't care who you have lunch with, Archer. I just don't like surprises or to be lied to.
Rarity stared at the geometric mess in front of her.
I guess I'm more of a fan of Renaissance or Impressionist style. The paintings where you can tell if there's a person in the painting.
Archer chuckled, and they moved to the next painting.
Like this one?
The painting was old. Rarity could tell that by the cracking in the paint, but it had the rich colors she loved. There were three children in the painting, sitting outside in front of a lake, and a tree was to their left. Something was odd about the tree. She leaned closer, reaching her hand toward the canvas to brush away a cobweb, but someone grabbed her hand before she could get closer.
"Sorry, we don't allow people to touch the paintings."
A woman in a black dress dropped Rarity's hand by her side. "This painting, in particular, is very rare. It's from before the Civil War and was found in Georgia at an estate sale. We don't know who the children are in the painting, but it's very realistic, isn't it?"
Rarity stepped back from the painting. "Sorry, I thought there was a shadow or a bit of dust on it. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm Rarity Cole, owner of the next chapter, and usually a much better gallery visitor."
The woman laughed and reached out her hand.
"I'm sure you are. I'm Eleanor Blanchett. I'm the gallery manager."
"Archer Ender."
As he introduced himself, he looked at Rarity.
"Sorry, I'll be right back."
Rarity watched as he headed to the corner of the room, in the opposite direction from Calliope. Okay, maybe she was a jealous girlfriend. She shook the thought out of her head and focused on Eleanor.
"Are you new to the area?"
"Definitely. New York City is my home. I'm afraid I let Jackson lure me away with the promise of managing this gallery and a huge salary. And it doesn't hurt that my condo here in Red Rock is almost 10 times the size of my New York apartment."
She glanced over at Jackson, and a softness changed her face.
"He's very persuasive."
"You should visit my bookstore soon. I'm not sure I'll have exactly what you like to read, but I can order anything."
Rarity sipped her champagne.
"Jackson mentioned Red Rock, too. Is that a nearby town? I'm kind of new to the area, but I haven't heard of it."
Eleanor laughed. "You'd think it was a town, the way Jackson describes it. Honestly, I don't even know if the area has a real name. I've just taken to calling our neighborhood by that name because Jackson does. All of our employees who moved from another area live there. I think Jackson's family owns the street. Anyway, I guess I shouldn't keep saying it like it is a town or anything. We do have barbecues on the last Saturday of the month for everyone. I'm so domesticated now that my black-wearing New York friends wouldn't even recognize me. I need to get into your bookstore and grab some culture back before I buy a cowboy hat or something worse."
You're welcome any time. Except I'm closed on Sundays. You can help me order some art books. I think with your new gallery, people are going to be wanting to learn more about art in general. We're like that around here.
Rarity had noticed that about the local community. They liked to know about the shops and stores they were supporting. And she could talk to Eleanor about the bookmark exchange she'd started with other local companies, like Ender's Adventures, Archer's Hiking Tour Company. She sold a lot of books on trails, as well as hiking memoirs and how-to books for beginners. She glanced around the room to see if she could find Archer. He wasn't in sight.
I'll try to stop by this week. Eleanor nodded to another customer. Sorry, I need to mingle. Thank you for coming tonight.
After Eleanor left, Rarity moved to the next painting, sipping her drink. When Archer came back a few minutes later, they walked through the rest of the paintings. Some were new, some old, but all of them had a hefty price tag. Rarity saw a landscape she loved, but when she saw the cost, she sighed.
That's a lot of books to sell.
Maybe we should go to Art in the Park in Flagstaff next weekend. They have booths by local artists with prices for the rest of us.
He scanned the room. Are you ready to get out of here?
Please, I feel poor and uneducated. I told Eleanor I'd order some art history books if she came in and helped me pick out some. I need a mini art history class myself.
Rarity took his arm.
Do you want to learn with me?
He shook his head. Not on your life. Unless it's part of local history that I can use in my hiking tours, I don't have room in my head for useless facts. Let's go get some dinner at the Garnet. I'm starving.
I need to go freshen up. Rarity nodded to the restrooms. I'll meet you at the door.
Sounds good.
He kissed her on the cheek and left to go stand by the front door. Rarity had just stepped out of the restroom when she heard angry voices. They were coming from the back room. She glanced out toward where the party was happening, but apparently no one could hear the shouting that far away. She stepped over to the door that was cracked open and saw it was an office. Jackson was talking to a larger man. Jackson's face was beet red.
You owe me. Don't try to back out now just because you're concerned you might look bad, Jackson said as he looked toward the door.
Rarity stepped out of sight. Just before he slammed shut the door, she heard him say,
No one threatens me or my business. I know people.
Rarity hurried out of the hallway and toward the entrance. She quickly scanned the room to find Archer. When she did, she was just in time to watch Calliope plant a kiss on his cheek. It had been aimed at his mouth, but Rarity and Archer had just locked gazes, and he'd moved just in time. When she got within chatting range, Rarity was livid.
I'm ready to go.
Archer nodded.
Calliope, thank you for the introduction to Matthew. Rarity and I have a reservation.
Here? In this small town? If I didn't know better, I'd think you were giving me the brush off.
Calliope turned and saw Rarity.
Oh, I didn't realize you were standing there.
There were so many responses Rarity wanted to throw out, but she took a deep breath and kept her cool. She was starving and didn't want to ruin dinner because Calliope was playing games.
I guess not. Sorry, we're on our way out. It was nice to see you again.
Rarity took Archer's arm in her own and they stepped outside.
I didn't kiss her, Archer said before she could say anything.
She met his gaze and shrugged.
I don't want to talk about Calliope. Why is your friend Jackson arguing with someone about threatening the gallery?
He was doing what?
Archer unlocked his Jeep and then helped Rarity inside. She told him about the conversation as they drove to dinner. Her head was pounding, probably a mix of the champagne and seeing Calliope. Dinner didn't help. She tried to keep up her end of the conversation, but she knew she was failing. When they got back to the house, he turned off his engine.
Do you want me to come in?
He took her hand in his. The headache was worse.
Honestly, no. I just want to crash. Tomorrow's a long day with the book club, and Amy and Stacy are coming over to ask the group for help with the book drive.
You're sure it's not about Calliope and what she did?
Rarity met his gaze directly.
It's definitely not about Calliope.
Rarity climbed out of the Jeep and pulled her keys out of her clutch. The problem between them wasn't Archer's ex-assistant.
The problem was why Calliope felt comfortable enough with him to kiss him, even when she knew Rarity was around. What she'd done was rude and cruel. Rarity didn't want to play games with Calliope or anyone else, even if that meant she and Archer weren't together anymore. She'd talk to him when she didn't want to scream or hit something, or both. She decided it was time to go for a swim, all by herself. Chapter 2. Rarity usually enjoyed her book club nights, especially since she was the founder of her brainchild get-together, the Tuesday Night Survivors Club. Tonight, the energy was tense. Things were touchy with her and Archer. He'd arrived exactly at 7, bringing along Sam's boyfriend, Drew Anderson. Drew was also a member of Sedona's Finest, so he was representing the police department for this community outreach. Maybe it had been a mistake to open tonight's club meeting to community members committed to the next chapter's back-to-school drive. Sam hadn't spoken a word since Drew and Archer walked through the door. Archer hadn't smiled or made eye contact with her all night. Rarity understood why Drew and Sam weren't talking, since Sam's brother had almost been convicted of a murder he didn't commit. Drew had been the lead detective on the case. But she and Archer had had one little fight. Okay, maybe a big fight about his ex-employee Calliope, who'd showed up last week with a huge client for Archer's hiking business. And then last night she tried to kiss him. Rarity wasn't the jealous type, but everyone knew Calliope had a crush on Archer. Archer had tried to explain why Calliope had tried to kiss him during a phone call last night after he dropped her off. He'd been concerned about her headache and wanted to clarify how they ended the evening. He'd told her that Calliope's feelings for him didn't matter. He was in love with Rarity, and she needed to trust him. That had been the last time they'd talked. It had been a long day. Rarity tried to focus on the discussion in the meeting.
Amy and I had a meeting with Miss Christie, the high school counselor, last week.
Stacy Patterson, a Sedona High School freshman who also wrote reviews for Rarity's bookstore, reported to the group. Before she could continue, Amy Martin interrupted by holding her hand up in the air as she jumped to be seen. Amy was in middle school, and after Rarity had found out she hung out at the restaurant where her mom worked most afternoons, Rarity had invited her to hang around the bookstore instead. Amy was the one who'd brought the idea of the back-to-school backpack and supply drive to Rarity. Stacy rolled her eyes.
Yes, Amy?
Miss Christie took us out for ice cream and gave us a gift card for the bookstore. Amy stepped forward to speak, then stepped back, seeing the people watching her.
Going for ice cream was fun, but I need to tell everyone that Miss Christie said if we get more than the 50 stuffed backpacks that the Sedona schools need, she'll send the rest to Flagstaff. So, please keep promoting the school drive until next Friday. We'll put everything together here at the bookstore on Saturday and deliver them to the school on Monday when the teachers come back from summer vacation.
Stacy stood in front of the group, oblivious to the tension in the room. Then she turned back to Rarity.
I think that covers it, right, Miss Cole?
You and Amy did a great job of managing this project.
Rarity stood and stepped between the two girls, looking around the circle.
Before I let you go enjoy your last few days of summer, I wanted to ask if anyone had questions for our budding charity fundraisers.
Shirley Prescott, one of the club regulars, stood and smiled at the girls.
You two are doing a wonderful job with this. My church has gathered backpacks and will be bringing them over on Saturday to fill.
And the Garnet is collecting money from their customers.
Malia Overstreet, another Tuesday night regular, added,
Holly and I are going shopping on Friday night at Target.
I've got a fund for my hikers for any additional supplies, so once you see what's missing on Saturday, I can fill in the rest. And Rarity and I got a donation last night from Jackson Sanders of $500.
Archer stood and tossed the paper-clipped bills to Amy. Amy's eyes widened as she looked at the cash. She held it up and met Archer's gaze.
This is $500? It's so small.
It's five $100 bills, dork.
Stacy plucked the money from Amy's hand and handed it to Rarity.
Ms. Cole will hold on to this so we have money for extra supplies.
Maybe someone would come shopping with me on Sunday. Archer leaned back in his chair, his gaze on Rarity. Rarity's lips twitched. It was as good of an olive branch as she was going to get.
That could be fun.
Drew checked his watch, then stood.
Let's give these girls a round of applause, then Archer and I need to get them delivered back to their parents. Joni's shift at Carol's just ended, and Amy's dinner will be getting cold.
After the kids left with Drew and Archer, the tension eased a bit. Okay, maybe a lot. Rarity held up a copy of The Midnight Library, the book they'd chosen to read last week.
So, shall we talk about our book since we still have some time?
Shirley shook her head. I didn't get it. How did she find this library? Did she really die? The book never explained why it happened.
That wasn't the point. The point of the story was that you make the best decision you can, and you go on. No regrets.
Malia sighed as she rubbed the book's cover. She'd suggested the book, and although Rarity had known it wouldn't be everyone's cup of tea, Malia had loved it with a capital L. Shirley frowned at the book.
Oh, I didn't understand that.
So, why didn't she pick a life that would turn out differently? Give herself a better outcome? If you know the decisions you make will cause you heartache later, why not change your life?
Would you? If you had known how things would happen in your life, would you go back and make different decisions?
Malia challenged her.
I know I would have with a few.
No, of course not. Your life is your life. You make the decisions you make as best you can. No reading ahead to the end of the book. You miss the life in between.
Shirley tossed the book on the coffee table. I think, since I'm the oldest in the group, I can tell you that a life can't be judged based on where you are standing at one moment.
I actually agree with Shirley, but I think that's what the book was trying to say. You do the best you can and go on. And if you don't like something, you have to change it.
Holly Harper, another original club member, went on to explain how she viewed the book and its theme. Shirley sat back in her chair, crocheting a baby blanket for one of the expectant mothers at her church. When the discussion ended, the store quickly cleared out except for Sam, Shirley, and Rarity. It was usually the three of them putting the area back together after the meeting. Shirley worked part-time at the bookstore, and Sam, well, she was a really good friend. Sam grabbed two cookies and wrapped them in a napkin.
"Do you mind if I take off? Marcus is calling me from Paris in a few minutes. He's there on a job, so we FaceTime while he's walking. Now I want to go to Paris."
"Paris sounds fun. Maybe next year I'll go with you."
Rarity folded the last chair and put it on the storage carrier. Rarity knew Sam enjoyed spending time with her brother, even if it was virtual. They'd only started to reconnect a few months ago.
"First, I need to refill my emergency fund after replacing the air conditioner in this monstrosity."
"Malia's book said you should live life now,"
Sam retorted as she headed to the doorway. Rarity called after her.
"Not if you don't have the money to fly or eat. I think panhandling is frowned upon as a vacation strategy."
With a laugh and a wave, Sam disappeared out the door. Shirley was clearing off the treat table. After Sam left, she turned toward Rarity.
"Do you think the book was right, that we should make the most of every day?"
"Of course. Paris will be there when I can afford it, and I needed the air conditioner. Why are you asking?"
Rarity pushed the rolling chair storage into the closet on the other side of the room. Then she returned to help Shirley finish cleaning up the discussion area around the fireplace.
"The book really hit me. Would I have still married George if I knew what was going to happen to him? If I'd had a clue how our golden years were going to play out?"
Shirley sank onto a chair.
"We had a lot of great years together."
"You can't go back. Besides, you wouldn't have thrown those years away. You love George, even if he's not the same now."
Shirley's husband was in a memory care facility, and from the gossip around town, he was getting worse. He didn't even recognize Shirley during most visits.
The book just reminds us to live a full life, that's all. And we all have had that lesson in our pasts.
I'm being silly. That's what happens when you're alone too much. I need a hobby where I'm out and around people, like working for you.
Shirley patted Rarity's hand, then stood and finished filling the cart with the empty cups and pitchers of lemonade and water.
The ramblings of an old woman. Soon I'll be in the facility, in the room next to George.
That will never happen. You're in your prime. 60 is the new 40, they say.
Rarity gave her friend a quick hug.
Let's get out of here. Do you want to stop at the Garnet for a coffee or a dessert before we head home?
Shirley declined her invitation.
You need to get home to Killer. He's probably already worried about you. I swear when we had dogs, they could tell time. Especially when it was dinner time. They always went into the kitchen and checked out their bowls as soon as it got close.
Rarity finished cleaning up and grabbed her keys and tote. She was about to ask Shirley if she wanted to go to her house for a coffee instead, but then Shirley spoke.
I'll see you tomorrow for Mommy and me. We're doing a small craft after reading the book. Everyone's excited.
Shirley put on her sweater and grabbed her purse and her tote that held her books and yarn and hook.
I might even finish this baby blanket this week. I've got two more to complete before the mommies have their showers at the end of the month. I swear, everyone is having a baby this month.
Locking the door, Rarity headed home. Archer usually walked with her, but even with the olive branch he'd thrown out tonight, their relationship was strained. She wished she could take back what she had said, but she knew if they talked today about Calliope, they'd have the same fight. Maybe they just weren't compatible. And if that was true, Calliope would win. Rarity swam in her in-ground backyard pool as soon as she woke up on Wednesday morning. It was the perfect way to get an exercise as well as wash away the negative Nelly who had taken up residence in Rarity's head. Typically, she could ignore the negative thoughts, especially when she was busy. But since the fight with Archer, she'd been revisiting a lot of their conversations, trying to see where she went wrong. It was like watching the same episode on repeat, but not going on to the next show. And she was tired of it. The swim washed away the unhelpful thoughts. When she moved to Sedona, she'd purchased the small house mostly because of the backyard pool. Rarity loved swimming, and she'd put it off too many times before because of work. In St. Louis, she'd be too busy to go to the gym in the morning, and then when she was finally done working, the pool at her gym would be closed. Having her own pool in Arizona made it possible to swim on her time frame, like this morning, and last night before she had gone to bed. Okay, maybe she was addicted. Now, with a cup of coffee, Rarity opened her planner to make sure she had the back-to-school supply drive schedule on her calendar correctly. Stacy had told her the dates a few weeks ago when this project started, but she hadn't put the deadlines in her planner. The day they were stuffing the backpacks was also the day that the high school book club was having an end-of-summer party. She groaned as she realized the two events would both be going on at the store at the same time. Katie Dickinson, Rarity's newest hire, had put the dates on the bookstore's online calendar, as well as sent Rarity an online invite and a list of supplies she'd need for the party. Katie was a graduate student at Northern Arizona University in Flagstaff, studying literature. She'd told Rarity last month that she was also writing her first novel. The woman played recreational volleyball and basketball and ran marathons. Every time they talked about what they were doing over the weekend, Katie won the discussion. She made Rarity feel like a slug. But not today. Rarity had marked off the exercise part of her day, and it wasn't even 9. Now, to get everything else done on her ever-expanding to-do list, including figuring out how to fit the backpack stuffing in the building on the same day as the high school club party. She wrote an email to her staff and stopped debating the issue with herself. Then, Rarity matched up her calendar with the ongoing book clubs, making sure there were no other conflicts. Hiring more staff had taken some things off Rarity's plate, but added others, like this coordination. Satisfied with the results, she checked her email one more time before...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?